This is the homily for the Nativity of the Lord, 2025, Mass during the night at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, the letter of St. Paul to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. The homilist was Abbot James Wiseman.
I expect that some of you, in an attempt to simplify your life and avoid the genuine busyness of the Christmas season, may have decided not to send any cards this Christmas. Actually, one of my cousins, among others, has made that decision and said so. But otherwise, you very likely already have sent your cards to various relatives and friends and have received many back from them. I've always valued this practice, not least because it puts me in touch with persons who live far away and whom I very seldom get to see in person. Usually, of course, I just throw the cards away toward the end of the Christmas season, but occasionally I keep one. I kept last year's. I don't have a copy of it, but it's in my office, and it's quite remarkable. It came from Glastonbury Abbey in Massachusetts, but was done not by one of the monks, but by a layman who actually worked on that card off and on for 5 full years. And it includes on the garments of Mary and Joseph, in very tiny print, texts from the scriptures, from Isaiah, from the Gospel of Luke, and other passages that have to do with the coming of the Messiah. And if you look at the card from a distance, you don't even notice that. It just looks like, you know, the folds in the garments they wear. But actually, if you look up close, It's a very remarkable card, and I thought that was definitely worth keeping, especially because the man had been working on it for so many, many years. And that man added the hope, very reasonable, that everyone viewing the image would feel the call of Jesus more strongly and receive the grace needed to love the Lord our God with all their heart and soul and mind. As I said, for me, that was a very good reason to save that card. And this year, I'll save another one. And this time, I was able to make copies of it, so you see them there in your pew. Actually, the card is not of the highest caliber artistically. Yet it says something very important about the connection between Christmas as a feast and the way some people are celebrating it, or at least trying to celebrate it. And rather than just talk about the image on the card, I had a member of our school staff run off a whole set of copies in color, which, as I say, you've already seen there in your pew. Now, as I just implied, you could certainly make some criticisms of the art. The head of St. Joseph is at least twice the size of Mary's head. That doesn't make sense. And I think the facial features on both Joseph and Mary and the Christ child are very rudimentary. I think much less refined than some of our students could paint under the expert instruction that they get from Hadrian Mendoza of our school's fine arts department. But to dwell on such matters would be totally beside the point. The artist was Ukrainian Benedictine sister, Sister Esther Okramovich. She lives at a Benedictine abbey in Ukraine. And some months ago, the American Secretariat of the Alliance for International Monasticism, which usually goes by the acronym AIM, asked the abbess of that community if any one of their sisters there might be able to prepare a Christmas card that would serve AIM not only as a gift to the various monasteries in this country that help donate funds for the third world monasteries in such need. But they also thought that such a card would be a reminder of what is actually happening to so many people in that country, Ukraine, during the nearly 4 years of war that they've been enduring, with countless deaths and injuries and constant fear of enemy drones and missiles. So in response to that request from the sisters here in Erie, Pennsylvania, that Ukrainian, Sister Esther, painted this scene. And at the center, you can see there the Holy Family, Mary dressed in red, which Sister Esther explained in the notes that accompanied the drawing, dressed in red as an image of her great heart. And you see there in the image, Mary is giving us her son Jesus, whose face is turned toward us, and the Christ child is reaching out and blessing all of us with his right hand. And above, there's a radiant light and angels descending from heaven, and the faces of the angels become more and more defined as they draw nearer to the Holy Family. Now, thus far, the image is really not that different from what you find on so many Christmas cards. But there's a big difference, because at the bottom right, there is a Ukrainian mother with her two small children. The older child gesturing with her own hand toward the infant Jesus as he blesses her, as well as blessing her mother and her younger brother. The mother is carrying a large backpack. It's what in English would be called a go bag, and it's something that almost every Ukrainian has, because it contains crucial documents and a few other essential items that they would need if they suddenly had to flee their home on short notice in time of danger. Also, at the bottom of the card, this time a bit to the left of center, there is a tree branch. It's actually a broken viburnum branch, but it's still bearing fruit. And Sister Esther explained that that's a symbol of today's Ukraine, a country that is certainly damaged, but very much alive still, as are the flowers on that broken branch. And then to the left of the branch, the viburnum branch, there's a flame, or rather flames of fire and clouds of smoke, representing the war that's been ravaging that country ever since the invasion by Russian troops in February of 2022. However sad and depressing that fact of invasion might be, it's crucial to note that the fire and the smoke and the darkness remain only at the bottom of the image. The radiance from the heaven above and around the Holy Family in the center far surpass the pain and darkness of night. That's a sign of hope that good will eventually triumph, and that the incarnation of the Son of God gives us the assurance that God is always with us, no matter what dangers we might face. I think it's also true that similar artists to Sister Esther, artists maybe in Gaza or Sudan or South Sudan or the Congo or other countries that are currently plagued by warfare, might well have painted a similar picture to express their hope for persons living in those parts of the world. But let's not overlook what's happening in our country. There have been violent killings in our own nation in recent days. And I'm afraid, sadly, there's the likelihood that that kind of violent behavior will occur in the new year as well. So as we continue tonight's celebration of the birth of the one we call Prince of Peace, let's be mindful of the hope that has been the special theme of the Jubilee year that has been with us all throughout 2025, and that officially ends on January the 6th, when Pope Leo closes that special door, the holy door at St. Peter's Basilica. That door will not be opened again for 25 years, the next Jubilee. This Jubilee year's focus has been on hope, on spiritual renewal, on forgiveness, on the need of reconciliation, all of these rooted in the Hebrew tradition of remission of debts and liberation, but also applied to our contemporary needs for peace throughout the world, for the healing of relationships, and for addressing the needs of our very endangered planet Earth. So I trust that Sister Esther's painting will help keep all of us mindful of these needs and encourage us to do everything we can to promote Christian hope well beyond the Jubilee year that will soon come to an end.